scripture reading, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Thus ends the reading.
There is no such thing as a lovely or beautiful war. With little exception, war is entered into cautiously, judiciously, and hopefully as a last resort. When all other measures to achieve justice and peace have been attempted. There are many among our church, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, who from its very beginning deeply held the position of pacifism. They held to their convictions as individuals that war is always wrong and that violence in any circumstance is unacceptable. While my own feelings on the subject are mixed, I am grateful I live in a country that allows its citizens to decide for himself or herself. I am old enough to remember hearing the words of this passage from Ecclesiastes sung by the rock band The Birds on the AM radio of my parents' car. While the song was clearly expressed as a call for hope and for peace, as are some current covers of the song being played on Christian radio stations, this passage says that everything has a place and a time. You know, I don't know if I can look. I don't think I have the wisdom to look at the wars found in history's pages or on the headlines of TV and say, that was a good time for war. This one was a perfect place for entering into military conflict or engaging the other in battle. But what I do know is that the imminence or opening of each one, there is a surge in patriotism that leads young people to accept a call to serve their country. Sometimes in posts and positions at home, and sometimes a world away. You know, wars aren't supposed to be glamorous. They are made up of death and pain, violence, fear, anguish, anger, and sorrow. They're supposed to be hard. They're supposed to cause us to wrestle with our conscience and wonder if we are doing the right thing so that it never becomes too easy to take the life of another. Yet I believe it is both love of country and the heart of a servant that coexist within the woman or man who serves in our nation's military. We started this day of remembrance after World War I, the one that was supposed to end all wars. Then after World War II, we changed the name from Armistice Day to Veterans Day. Our nation's leader at the time called upon us to have a day of remembering those who fought and died, celebrating all veterans, and promoting an enduring peace. Great, but can't we do that in local civic arenas? Why do we need to do it in church? These are questions that I have asked myself and others for several years. But of late, my pastoral side has told the academic theologian in me to take a seat and be quiet. I have come to some understanding of the need, the hunger that good people of faith men and women have to bring everything, to bring military service, war, serving, fighting, praying for loved ones far away. They have a need to bring all of this into God's house, to lay it before the Lord and ask God to help make sense of it, to give them the courage to trust in God's love and God's ultimate victory over evil, so that we can move forward, believing that the day will indeed come when there will be no more war, no more pain or suffering, no sin and no death. When we are strengthened and reassured, we can go on doing what it is we know how to do, praying, working for God's peace, remembering our Savior Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who in his own words said that there is no greater love a person can show than to lay down their life for another. So today I want to thank God for those who have served, who gave themselves for the cause of peace and righteousness. And I want all of us to remember, no matter our opinions on the political actions that surround a war, those who serve are people, human beings made in the image and likeness of God. And so are the ones we call enemy. They are someone's brother, son, father, cousin, friend, sister, mother, husband, wife. And they are loved in the context of human relationships, and more importantly, they are loved by God. I want to share a couple of writings with you that I found over the course of this week. And then there is a PowerPoint presentation with a song that is written and performed by a soldier currently serving that we're going to close the message time with. But I'll share the writings with you first. This is what a mother writes in her journal. This morning we said goodbye to our dear son Jack at the station, where snow lay fresh and white on the roofs and on the streets, white and soft and pure as a young heart. When we came home, I felt strangely tired and old, though I'm only 42. But I know that my youth has departed from me. It has gone with Jack, our beloved, our firstborn, the pride of our hearts. Strange fate, surely, for a boy who's never had a gun in his hands, whose ways are gentle and full of peace, who loves people, pities their sorrows, and would gladly help them to solve problems. What have I done to you in letting you go into this inferno of war? And how could I hold you back without breaking your heart? December 4th, 1915. Poet Mona Gould writes, remembering her brother in World War II. Quietly a hero who gave his life like a gift, withholding nothing. His youth, his love, his enjoyment of being alive, his future, like a book with half the pages still uncut. This was my brother, the one who built me a dollhouse when I was 7, complete to the last small picture frame, nothing forgotten. He was awfully good at fixing things, at stepping into the breach when he was needed. And that's what he did that day. He was needed. And even death must have been a little ashamed at his eagerness. And in my own experience, the blessed gift of technology afforded me the connection with my brother Joshua when he was deployed for a year in Iraq. Each morning I would go into work at the church and I would open up my Yahoo Instant Messenger and then get busy with my activities of the morning. And usually about once or twice a week around lunchtime, the computer would make a little noise telling me the one I was waiting for was online. As I sat typing and then watching words appear back to me from across the world onto my computer monitor, I whispered a silent prayer. Thank you, God. You got him through another day. I remember sending him a fruitcake for Christmas, one of the few people I know who actually loves fruitcake. So I sent him one of Corsicana's finest. Another time I wanted to send him something that he could enjoy, and he asked for a collapsible fishing pole in the desert. So I sent it to him, and darn if the boy didn't find a small pond on one of their supply routes. And I actually have pictures of my brother fishing in Iraq with some of the locals, whom he gave his catch to later that day. I know I've rambled a little bit this morning, and my style hasn't been maybe as crisp and tidy as it usually is. If this wasn't the message that you came looking for this morning or what you needed, forgive me. They can't all be home runs. But on this day, let us collectively offer prayers of thanksgiving for those who have served and who serve today on your behalf and mine, that we will move toward that reign of peace and the joy of the Lord. And let us remember the humanity of all, our soldiers, loved ones and friends, ourselves, and those with whom we are at war. Each one is given life by the same Creator and made in that holy image and likeness. May we look forward to the time when we will gather in God's presence and see all as brother and sister, forgive one another whatever wrongs we have done, and let love be the rule that guides us all. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and the Spirit that dwells within us, amen. Will you please?